This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 14th, episode 723. Good morning, horse people.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, I am here on a Wednesday, and I'm very glad to be here. So today is the Equity MFG Wheel of Trivia. And Jennifer, I must say that looking through the questions today, I'm feeling like we're going to have some winners. I'm feeling positive about it. Sometimes I read them and I'm like, oh my God, people are going to hate me. Today, I'm thinking it's going to be a good day for those who call into play.
Oh, good. I'm glad you understand the questions. I worked hard at that. I had extra coffee this morning before I wrote them.
Yes, I understand the questions. That is a good start. That's a good start. And I would like to say that most of them are multiple choice. So even better, you at least get a little bit of a hint.
Get 30% chance on every one, man.
Exactly. Or 33 in the third, so even better. So Glenn, I even
got a couple of them. I think I could have even won a prize today.
Well, Glenn, they don't count. The horses in the morning questions.
That is true. We do have a new category today. I don't know if it's new, but it's new to me, and I really like it, called Previously on Horses in the Morning.
I knew everyone. I had to think about the one.
How is the new pony doing, by the way?
New pony's doing great. Everything's good. I saw him buck and kick and fart for the first time. That was so he must be feeling better. First time.
All his rickety bones are getting put back together.
I guess. Yeah, he is showing more of his personality now. So
good. That's
how you can tell.
On today's show, we basically got some Wheel of Trivia, Equity MFG Wheel of Trivia, and then we're going to talk to Glenn about, well, you have a list, right?
Actually, Jennifer started this list, and now the listeners have chimed in on Facebook to continue the list. It's the daily annoyances that us horse people have. So we're going to talk about the little things that drive us crazy every day, either about the barn or the horses, something that, you know, in our daily life with the horses drives us crazy. And there have been a lot of good ones from the listeners.
You told me to make a list, and it got too long. Like, I had to edit it down. Just some of the annoying things. Just a few of the annoying things that happen at the barn. And we've also going to talk to thehorse.com coming up a little bit later. And Michelle is going to talk to us with Sue McDonald with the Weekly Health Report. And it's the difference basically between, we're learning about behavior.
Behavior versus pain.
I don't even know what it's called.
Behavior versus pain in horses.
I get my horses to behave because of pain.
No, you don't. We know you. We all know you. You're too squishy for that. Give us a call right now to play the Wheel of Trivia, 347-637-3238, to get in line to play the wheel. Hey, I got to ask you, and I'll post this on Facebook. Did you see Ashton Kutcher's acceptance speech at the Teen Choice Awards? It's been going around Facebook. Did you get a chance to watch it?
No,
I did not, but I saw that you posted that. What was the idea of it?
It was not your typical, you know, I want to thank my mom and my agent, you know, speech. He really gave a heartfelt speech, and you could tell that, you know, all the girls were just busy screaming. They probably didn't hear any of it, and it was really them. He wanted to hear it. But it is worth listening to. He really talked about what really counts in life. And I hadn't thought much about Ashton Kutcher. I just, you know, knew he did stuff and I've seen him occasionally. But, you know, I didn't really give him much thought. I really think differently about him after this little video. I got to tell you, it was one of the best. It wasn't even an acceptance speech. It was, you know, go out and here's how to live your life right. I was really impressed. I really was.
Well, it's easy to go out and live your life right when you have like $10 billion.
Yeah, yeah. And screaming girls every place you go.
Exactly. But good advice. Good advice. And I'm sure he learned a lot being married to somebody who's like 85. So she probably taught him a lot.
That's true.
Oh, wait.
But you really will watch it and come away feeling a little bit differently than you did before. I guarantee it.
Yes.
It was real good. So I'll post it on our Facebook page when I get a chance here a little later in the show. But I just wanted to bring it up because I was just I was surprised. Surprised and impressed.
Good.
Now,
your Daily Winnie.
How are you? Oh, Daily Winnie's. Yeah, I almost forgot. See, Jennifer didn't do her thing. Confused me. My Daily Winnie goes out to KJ Jones, the charming Cherokee we've had on the show a number of times before. She's getting an award this weekend at the Festival of the Horse and Drum in St. Charles, Illinois. That's actually a new show tied in with the Indian community out there in St. Charles and the Cherokee community in specific. And it's also partly horse show, so they're doing a new thing out there. Chief Swift Arrow will be presenting an official announcement of the lifelong title of Ambassador of Peace and Friendship, which apparently is one of the most honorable titles you can get as a Cherokee, and they're giving it to her because everywhere she goes, to all the shows that she does across the country, she does an act with horses and throwing knives and stuff, but she always talks about the Cherokee and what it's like, you know, how she feels to be one. So she's getting the Ambassador of Peace and Friendship Award, and we congratulate her. She's super nice. She has this new thing in her throwing act. I saw a video of it up the other day where she actually puts explosives on her knives. So when she throws them and it hits the target, they explode. It's really cool. Targets don't like it, but it's really cool.
I didn't even get it. I have to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, your turn.
Well, I would like to send my Daily Witty out to the most expensive yearling in Australian history. Now, this is a horse. His name right now is Jimmy. Just Jimmy. And he is the half-brother of Black Caviar.
And how could I guess?
He is the most expensive yearling. I know, right? So he sold at the sale last fall for $5 million Australian dollars, which is pretty close to $5 million our money. I think it's a little bit less, but pretty darn close. So most expensive yearling in Australian history. They're actually kind of trying to formulate a training plan for him, and they are thinking that he could make either a fall debut or a spring debut. So we are looking forward to Black Caviar's brother getting out there and seeing if it's just the bloodlines. Is it in the bloodlines?
So I'm assuming sprinter?
I would imagine that they're not going to try to make her brother a distance runner, but they're looking for, I guess it's all in bloodlines. It's all sprinters. So, yeah, I would imagine.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Jamie, for that. We are going to, you just wanted to go to the wheel and see how many winners we can get today? Let's get it started.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll do that.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, I know we have some new callers lined up here, so we are going to explain the rules of how this works for the Wheel of Trivia here on Horses in the Morning. Jamie will give you the categories of questions. We have three different categories that you'll be able to choose from. She'll give those to you in just a minute. If you got 5 seconds, this is very important. You have 5 seconds to answer, no time to Google. We don't give you time to Google. And if you get the question incorrect, you will hear the high school basketball buzzer. If you get the question correct, you'll hear the bell that's sitting here on my desk. And if you get it correct, we will spin the wheel and we'll see what you win. We have over $500 in prizes on the wheel today. And we're talking a ton of good stuff. We're talking breeches and helmets and gift certificates and socks and just a ton of different stuff. Memberships for different things. We have some new stuff on the wheel today, too. But we also always have one slot.
That's what I was going to say. What's the crappy prize today?
Today, it is the miscellaneous box of crap out of Glenn's closet. It's all this crap that I've piled up that people have sent to us and companies have sent to us that I'm going to put in one big box and send out to you, and you have to deal with it. Now, it's all new crap, but it's a lot of it's good crap, but I just don't want it in my closet anymore. So actually, winning the box of crap wouldn't be a bad thing this week. Just saying.
It's not like a ball of twine this time or old
no.
new cupcake.
No, we gave those away already. So
okay.
There's a lot of new stuff. It's just random stuff, you know, that I've collected.
Gotcha.
And we, you know, we're going to ADA this weekend, the American Equestrian Trade Association, which means I'm going to collect a whole new pile of crap. So I got to get this crap out. So hopefully somebody lands on it today. All right, let's start with, we have some new callers. We have a new caller, Ruby, in Arizona, has gotten up as early as you, Jamie.
Yeah, Arizona is represented today. I love it. How are you, Ruby?
Doing good. I'm really tired, though, getting up at 6 in the morning.
Hey, I started this train at 5, but actually I've been up since about 3:30 because that's when the baby decided to wake up. So I'm with you. I'm on my like ninth cup of coffee right now. I'm going to try to make it to the end of the show. So Ruby, you obviously ride. You have some horses?
No, I don't own horses. I ride at the ranch near my house, and I ride this amazing horse. Her name is Belle, and I affectionately call her Jelly Belly.
Aw. All right. Well, what is Jelly Belly? What type of riding do you do?
I do Western, hopefully doing some competitive trail riding this winter.
Oh, cool. Well, Ruby, well, we wish you the best of luck in that and the Wheel of Trivia. So here's the categories that I'm going to give you. You've got not-so-vital statistics, which are multiple choice. 20th century history, which is also multiple choice, or if you're a listener of our show, we have a category called Previously on Horses in the Morning, and that's just a question about something we talked about on the show.
I think I'm going to go with 20th century history.
20th century history. Okay, this question should be easy for you, okay? What governing organization, by the way, you have 5 seconds to answer. You can't Google.
Okay.
What governing organization, founded in 1967, goes by the acronym NRHA?
Later.
Couple seconds.
American Horse Association.
Oh, you were so close.
Dang it. Wild guess. Well, shot in the dark.
That was a good try. I figured since you're a Western rider, you'd get it. The National Reining Horse Association.
Ah.
You should have had that. It's early in Arizona, though.
Dang
we
it.
Forgive you. We forgive you. Well, listen, Ruby, call back next week, okay?
I will.
All right, thanks, Ruby.
Bye.
We have another new caller. It is Sarah. Well, West Coast is representing today. You're going to be happy about this, Jamie. It's Sarah in California.
Sarah in California. She's getting up at the same time because we're in the same time zone right now. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
How are you? What type of riding do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have an OTTB and I do eventing.
That's my girl right there. OTTB and eventing. We're going to be best friends. So maybe we've seen each other at events.
Absolutely. I've been looking out for you, but keep crossing paths and not quite meeting you yet.
All right. Are you going to be at Copper Meadows in September?
I haven't decided yet. I'm doing Shepherd Ranch in 2 weeks, so it's our first one. We're doing intro level.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Well, I will be at Copper Meadows.
I didn't do that.
Glenn gave you the applause.
No, I think Jennifer did.
Well, Glenn, we'll be at Copper Meadows, so hopefully we'll see you there. Shepherd Ranch, I think that's in Northern California, isn't it?
That's in San Ynez, so just north of Santa Barbara.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's like one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
It's lovely. It's a great show. You should check it out sometime.
Okay, I'm going to that one next time. Count me in.
Do you baby? Oh, she wants to know. Do you babysit? She just curious. She's just checking.
Yes.
No.
I got to do a dressage test. Hold the baby. All right. What category would you like? Not so vital statistics, 20th century history, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
Not so vital statistics, please.
Okay. You're just going to have to take a shot in the dark on any of these. It's going to be a 33% chance you're going to get it, because I have no idea. All right. Now, this one's a little surprising, because I didn't know any of this. How many calories are in a pound of alfalfa? Is it A, 900 to 1,000, B, 1,200 to 1,500, or C, 2,500 to 3,500?
I'm going to go with C.
We can't get a winner today.
It's actually a 900 to 1,000, but can you imagine that's 1,000 calories in a pound of alfalfa? And I think my horse off the track, Thoroughbred Edward, eats about 30 pounds of alfalfa twice a day, and he's still skinny.
I know. That's why I was thinking it was more calories, too. Like we don't feed them that much considering how big they are.
I'm shocked, though. I feel like I feed him about 1 million calories a day, and the thing I can still see is dang red. I don't get it.
I got to tell you, Sarah.
If we found out the trick.
I would have went with C, too. I thought it was much higher. You know, because we all think of alfalfa as horse candy, so we think it's really, really high in calories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
I still thought 1,000 calories a pound was pretty extensive. But anyway, well, Sarah, listen. First of all, come and find me at a horse trial. Second of all, call back next week. Let's become best friends, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Sarah.
All right.
Bye.
Well, we have, let's see here. We are going next to, we have Stephanie in Arizona was up next.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, you're up early, too. I love it. I do Wednesday shows. The West Coast represents, okay?
They do. It's the only time they come out is when you're on.
Well, they're smart, okay? Stephanie, what category would you like to do? Not so vital statistics, 20th century history, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
Oh, wow. These questions are hard this morning. I wish I never write straight down.
Have you known any of them?
No, absolutely. I was checking out at the other end, too, so hopefully I get the first one right. What's the 20th century history?
20th century history. Okay. Now, are you an English writer, Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay. have you heard of a person named George Morris?
Yes.
Okay. How many Olympic, now this is multiple choice, okay?
How many Olympic medals has George Morris won as a rider? A, 4, C, 1, or C, 0?
Tick, tick, tick. What was that? I didn't.
B as in boy? Or B as in bay horse?
There you go. B is in bay. B is correct. He has won an Olympic medal, and that was in the 1960 Rome Olympics for show jumping. George Morris, I'm shocked that he hasn't won, still winning every single year, but I guess you got to like let other people win every once in a while. But you are correct. Time to spin the wheel. Congratulations.
That just shows you how old George Morris is. We always say George Morris looks old, but 1960, he won his Olympic medal. All right, let's spin the wheel. See what you get. See if it goes. Can you guys hear that? All right. Oh, you went past the box of crap. You missed that. Oh, you win. This is a nice prize, actually. You win 2 pairs of Noble Equine boot socks. These are really, really neat boot socks. Every pair of Noble Equine socks is made with high-performance features like OptiDry technology for moisture wicking and specific zones of compression and padding to keep you comfortable even after a long day. That's a $30 value we're going to send out to you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and one of them is really cool. They have the multicolored ones with all the horsies on them. I have them right here on my desk, so I'm looking at them.
I like to mix and match the socks. So,
oh, there you go. Well, you'll be able to do that.
I love socks. Socks are one of my favorite things. All right, well, Stephanie, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold so Jennifer can get your information. You want some socks, girl. Go for it.
All right, hold on.
We have so many callers lined up. This is crazy.
I'm trying to figure out who's next in line here. Give me a second. We have Kayla from Maryland.
Kayla, good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
Oh, did we lose you, Jamie?
Kayla.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hello. Hello. How are you? Good. How are you guys?
Well, good. You're not up quite as early as the rest of our callers have been, so maybe you'll be a little more ready to answer a question, okay? So you're a rider, yes?
Yep.
What type of riding do you do?
I'm an eventer.
Nice. A Maryland eventer. So you're up, what is that, Area 1?
Area 2, but I'm actually a born and raised Area 6 rider. I'm a California girl.
All right, nice. Well, what was your favorite event out here on the West Coast?
Oh, there's so many. I really like Galway.
Yeah, I got to say that's my... Well, you know what? It was my favorite until Copper Meadows. I do love Copper Meadows, but you probably haven't ridden in that one because it's kind of new.
No, actually, I remember they have all the tequila shots. The guy is going around and offering you tequila.
Yeah, that's an adventure for you.
What's a favorite thing about the event? It wasn't anything to do with the event. It was the booze.
So that answers my question of whether you're over 18 or under 18, because we have different categories. You sound young. So what category would you like? And yes, I'm excited about that shot, because now I'm not pregnant.
Let's go for previously on Horses in the Morning.
Oh, look at her.
So you are a listener. Now, did you happen to listen to Monday's show?
I did.
Oh, okay. There's a chance.
Here's the question.
Okay.
Where is 4-star Dave buried?
Saratoga.
That's correct. That is correct. Congratulations. Yes, I did a story. There was a horse race, and it's called 4-Star Dave Stakes, and why Dan won the race. And I did a little history lesson for everybody on why the race is called 4-Star Dave, and then who 4-Star Dave is, and why he is so special and he's buried at Saratoga, one of the only 3 horses buried there. So congratulations.
Glenn, take it away.
All right, very good. Let's spin the wheel for Kayla. You've called in, and you've actually, it was a while back, though, right? That you called
I won breeches.
Oh, that's right. You took a picture for us, right?
I don't think so.
You better. We
but
love it when we see pictures.
I will.
Okay. We love pictures of our winners.
I'll send a picture. I'll definitely send a picture.
All right. You on your horse, okay? All right. Here we go. Here's the wheel. Spinning the wheel. There went the helmet. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm afraid to say that the eventer from Maryland has won my miscellaneous box of crap from the closet.
Awesome.
There's actually going to be
sometimes some good stuff.
There is some good stuff.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I'll throw in, do you have one of our mugs yet?
I do.
Do you? Okay.
Well, then I'm... But my stepmom is a big fan. She's who got me hooked on it. So maybe she wants a mug.
All right. I'll throw a mug in the box of crap for you, okay?
Awesome. Thank you. Can't guarantee the mug won't be chipped, though.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Or used.
Now, Glenn, I would like to point out that if you were to have a big box of crap from my closet, my litter box for my cat is actually in the closet, so don't include any of that.
Kayla, would you rather have her box of crap or mine?
I think I'll go with yours.
Okay, all right, good.
See, you got lucky. Imagine mail and litter box all the way across the country.
Hold on,
Kayla.
It
would literally be a box of crap.
It really would, yeah.
Literally a box.
Yeah.
Kayla, hold on. We like you.
All right.
That's hilarious. She gets the joke of the day award. Oh, what do you like best about the show? Oh, the dressage ring is beautiful. No, the drinks are great.
I see. I'm learning all these things about the West Coast eventing and the Torch Trials. So to talk to somebody who's probably been to them all, I wanted to know like which cross country courses are the best. You know, which one has the best show jumping arenas? No,
no.
You get tequila shots at Copper Meadows.
I didn't know they did that. You know, I played golf a lot of places where they do the drink runs and they deliver drinks to your holes. I never knew they did that at a horse show.
Well, you know what? James Atkinson is the course designer for so many of the West Coast events, and he is the owner of Copper Meadows. And every single one of his cross-country courses, there is one jump that is a cooler, and you can open the jump, and there's beer in it. Every single time you go walk your course, like, all we have to do is get to fence 13. That's too cooler. Then you get beer on your cross-country walk. That's a guy after my own heart right there.
Well, you know what? I know a lot of you eventers walk the course several times. Are you even able to, like, ride after that?
Hammered.
Yeah, that's right.
Hammered.
We have a... Let's do one more. We have time for one more. It's either Michael or Michelle. I'm not sure. In Virginia. We'll find out. Good morning.
It's Michael.
Oh, Michael.
How are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
So what type of riding do you do? Do you have a horse or did somebody make you call?
I don't currently have a horse, but I'm into Morgans and Saddlebreds, and I write for the Morgan Horse Magazine.
Oh, wow.
No kidding. Well, that's
cool.
Then you definitely are into horses. You're up to your ears in it, probably. What category did you want to go to? We've got the not-so-vital statistics, multiple choice, 20th century history, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
We'll go with the first category.
Not-so-vital statistics. Here we go. This is, again, we're just going to have to make you guess. And I wonder if it's different for Morgan. Anyway, how many vertebrae are in, multiple choice, how many vertebrae are in a horse's tail? Is it A, 18, B, 12, or C, 9?
In the tail. C, 9.
Oh.
Darn it.
Good guess. I would have said that too.
I think I would have too.
But if you look at it, there's actually 18
caudal vertebrae, the vertebrae in the horse's tail. That's insane. Now, Morgan horses, they've got, you know, their tails are so long.
it's 25 in Morgan horses.
27, yeah. Maybe they had more. Well, please call back next week. Glenn loves it when men call.
Yes, I do.
He needs all the help.
I need help here.
I'll try to do better next time, Glenn.
All right. Yeah, represent for us, okay? I'll tell you what. I'll feed you the answer ahead of time, all right? We'll get a winner.
Oh, great. I need that.
Okay.
Don't you do.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Now, let's take one more. We can't end on a negative. Did we do Sarah in Arizona yet? I've lost track.
We have not done Sarah in Arizona.
All right,
we'll do a speed round.
We'll do a speed round. All right. She's on.
Okay, Sarah, good.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
We're going to do a speed round. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Stick with me here. What are you doing this morning?
I am doing, I'm actually doing homework.
Oh,
for my AP classes. So I'm up early.
So you're an under 18 listener?
Yes.
Glenn, does that qualify for a kid question, or should I give her an adult question?
Well, we usually do under 13 for the kids questions, but it all depends, though. What class are you studying for this morning?
U.S. history.
All right, now she gets an adult question. She can do 20th century history. It's perfect.
I think that's a great idea, except for the fact that, do we have any more of those? Okay, what category would you like? Would you like not so vital statistics, the history question, or previously on horses in the morning?
I'll go with the second category.
The history. Okay. Now, this is the only history question we have left, Glenn. So, multiple choice, Sarah. In what decade was the first ASTM standard, also called F1163, for equestrian helmets created? When did they basically start having, that's a really wordy question, for when did basically they start studying helmets and making sure they didn't crack your skull? Was it A, the 60s, B, the 70s, or C, the 80s?
The 60s, A.
Oh, Sarah. You can look at pictures. People would be jumping fences with, like, nothing on their head in the 60s and 70s. The answer, was C, the 80s.
We had hopes for you, Sarah. You were supposed to take us out with a win.
I'm sorry.
I should have given her a kiss question.
All right,
she's
yeah.
under 18. It's his fault. His fault, Sarah. Don't hate me and call back next week, okay?
I will.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
All right. See, go ahead and look what you did.
I thought it was going to be an easy morning, and it turned out being a tough morning, didn't it? You know, we can never tell doing wheel. And this wheel of truth, it's tough.
I think we need some true-false questions next week. True-false questions.
Last week, you weren't here, but Wendy asked the question. And we gave away stuff last week because, first of all, Jennifer had one question that all three of them were the correct answer. So no matter what they answered, they got it right. And then Wendy got confused on the one question and gave the answer. So the person just said that answer, and she never realized she did it. So we had a couple just easy winners last week because basically we gave them the answers.
Everybody wants Wendy back.
Yeah. Jamie's a tough one. Chop, chop, 5 seconds. Hey, this round of Wheel of Trivia is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. For the best manure forks out there, look to Equity. We use them. Jamie uses them. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed now, Jamie, because my pony is now staying out all the time, and I don't have to clean his stall anymore. And I thought I would never, ever say this as a horse husband. I am disappointed I don't have a stall to clean because I just love using the shaken fork. The motorized fork where you press the trigger and it shakes the head and does all the work for you. That is a horse husband's dream, and it makes cleaning stalls fun. I just loved using the shaken fork, and now I can't use it anymore because he's not in.
I'm sure there are several people who would be more than happy to let you take the shaking fork to their house and clean their salt, including my house. So if you would like to show up here right after the show, I'm going to be cleaning the stalls, so I will see you in about an hour.
I'll let you use your own shaking fork and enjoy that experience. But yeah, we do love them. All of our hosts on the Horse Radio Network, Reese and Philip, are the newest converts. And Philip had to buy a second because they were fighting over him in his barn up there in Canada, his dressage barn, because he got one. And he said, I could never find it because everybody else was using it. All my boarders were using it. And he said, finally, I just went out and bought a second one because I just couldn't stand it anymore. Reese hides hers. She hides it and she says, it's my fork. No, none of my help is using it. So she actually hides hers and uses it herself. And I tell you, is there any other manure fork in the world that people are going to hide because they want to make sure it's there when they need it? No. So head on over to equitymfg.com, buy one, and you will see what we are talking about. The flexin' fork and the shaken fork. Well, Jamie, Jennifer came up with this list, and I'm just looking. I have to head over to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning to see the new additions to the list. But we have gotten quite a few people that have chimed in on this one. And I'm going to bring it up now. Give me one second here. Okay, so I have the new ones. But what it is this is the daily annoyances that horse people put up with. And Jennifer came up with this initial list. And Jennifer, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, good. So why don't you go over yours? She's come up with five, and we could chat about them. And then we'll go over what some of the listeners have. And I know Jamie is about 85, too, so...
These are the things that literally happen every day. They're not occasional annoyances. They're the literally everyday annoyances. But if they would disappear, my life would just be perfect. And one of my faves, and okay, you ready? The daily stall strip. There's always one horse in the barn. No matter what you do, there is one flake of clean bedding left at the end of the morning when you clean it. Drives me nuts. You know, that drives me nuts, too. And what really sucks is that the Duke, who is Chad's horse, got from a listener, Betty Bay, love this horse. Chad's horse is so tiny. He poops kind of on one side, and then they're all kind of, you just use the shaking fork and you scoop right through it. Jet, my horse, you literally have to have just a shovel. Just take the shovel in and strip the stall every single day because he walks. He stall walks. So you put, and it's not like he does circles. He does figure eights. He does dressage tests in his stall. I don't know what the hell he does, but it is a disaster every day. So I know the feeling.
And it doesn't
and then
matter.
Chad's like, my horse is perfect. My horse is good. Your horse is. I'm like, just clean off stall. Shut up.
You know, and there, it doesn't matter whether they're horses or ponies. We've owned ponies that have done that. My pony does that. It doesn't matter, you know, how big the horse is or how small it is. There are minis that will trash a stall every day. And then there's those horses that you wish you could just clone. Talk about cloning. You wish you could clone the ones that poop in the corner. That's the only place they'll poop. They poop in the corner. The corner poopers are a dream.
You know, I've noticed recently that people on their for sale ads will write poops in one place. Like, it's a selling point. It's a sales place. I wasn't going to take him, but man, he poops in one spot. Sold.
That's funny.
I don't care if he bought, as long as he poops in one spot. Exactly. What else you got, Jennifer? The bucket slinger. There's nothing worse than every single morning you got up at some ungodly hour, you drove to work with your eyes closed, and you walk in the barn, and there's one horse in there grabbing the feed bucket with his teeth and slinging it across the barn, which he continues to do well after you feed him and then dumps the grain on the ground. It's just every morning there's you walk into the barn and there's some angry horse just out there.
No. It's almost, Jennifer, like it doesn't matter that you're there to feed. You cannot do it fast enough for this horse.
No.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The one that just makes all the noise, you are not fast enough. And that's the horse that wants to be fed first. And then because we're people, we're like, well, I'm not feeding you first. And then the noise just continues and it just gets worse. And then they start pawing and then they get their foot in there. a disaster.
Makes you wonder why we have horses.
And every time you hear the door open, he starts again.
Yep.
What's next? Another one of my personal pet peeves, double-ended snaps, because they're everywhere, that either the one end opens and the other end doesn't.
Ugh, drives me nuts.
Or it stays open. Or it opens up and you get the little cuts on the end of your thumb because they're sharp.
You know, one of my pet peeves is how expensive they've gotten. Double-ended snaps now are almost $4 each. We used to buy them for like 75 cents. It's amazing how expensive
they've gotten. Yeah, you're right. They have gone up. That's a Home Depot purchase from now on.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. You get them at a tack shop, and it's like $4 each. And you're right. I hate the ones where, matter of fact, my lead rope I'm using now for my pony has one of those silver snaps on it, and it sticks, and it's just a pain when you're trying to get your pony, and you can't get the snap open. So what I did is I took a brass double-ended snap that actually works and connected it to the other snap. So now I have two snaps at the end of my lead rope, but I have one that doesn't drive me nuts every time I want to use it. Okay, you can go on, Jennifer.
Man, carry on, Jennifer. This next one is actually Glenn's, and it's garden hose. Everything about garden hoses makes Glenn crazy. Everything. He cannot pick up a hose without cussing or swearing or throwing an empty bucket across the barn.
Will they ever invent a damn hose that doesn't kink every time I unroll it? That doesn't kink, and you only discover the kink after you're 100 feet out and you're at the bucket. And then the kink is all the way back at the beginning. And then the other thing is, will they make one that doesn't leak at the end? I just hate them.
Every single one of them does. It's amazing. And you're right. Even the ones that say, I actually bought Never Kink. And the Never
For $40 each?
All the time.
Yes.
But the good thing is it says it has a lifetime guarantee. Well, they did not plan for a lifetime in Arizona with horses. I have returned that hose in the, 4 years that I've lived here, probably 20 times, and they just have to give me another one. So make the investment for the more expensive one that says lifetime guarantee. I bring this 100-foot hose into Lowe's. I take it to the desk, and I drop it down. I go, I'm going to go get another one. And they're like, okay. So I go get another one. That's the only thing.
They haven't figured you out yet.
No, well, it's tough. It says lifetime guarantee right there on the package. So the hose is yes. Now, let me give you a little hint. You know that commercial where they have that green hose and you turn it on and it goes all the way out? And
oh, yeah, it's like
it
tiny and it grows?
Balls itself back in.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch that infomercial really carefully, you turn the hose on, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. And then what they do is they play that same video in reverse. Whoop, and it's all back up in there.
Jennifer, didn't you say one of our listeners bought one of those and we were going to get a report on it?
It was somebody I follow on Facebook. It's an event writer, and I don't remember her first name, but I remember her posting that she bought one. I'll give you the report right now. I was walking around. I was looking for something at Walmart the other day, and I was walking past the hose. I was looking for the hose joint section or something, and we walked by an entire display, and the manager, whoever was showing me where I was going, goes, whatever you do, don't buy one of those. People bring them back all the time. And I said, well, my friend, you are too late, because my husband has already purchased one of those, and it is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard. I've seen on TV, never works. They play the video, then they rewind the video, and all the little links, that part that goes to your hose and the part that goes to your sprayer, those are plastic. So they're total crap, and they break in about 5 seconds. Don't ever buy one of those. There's your review. It's right. Total crap.
Don't buy the kinky expanding hose. All right, got it. And Jennifer, next, your last one.
And we're back to poop again. Water bucket freaking poopers.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's
awful.
First of all, it's awful. Disgusting. And it's disgusting to see, and it's disgusting to pour out. And it's disgusting to clean. It's pretty much just disgusting.
And it's a horse husband's job is what it is. So get used to it.
I have plenty of experience with. And then it's the one horse. And again, you're right. There's one horse that in the barn. You can have 10 horses. One will do the stalls, you know, trashing. One will be, it'll be a different one that's the water bucket pooper. And then, you know, you're right. There's just always one of each. You always have a collection of each. Anyway, yes. Let's
and
go.
Why
over.
Is it that they have to stuff their tail into it after they poop in the water? Yeah, then they have to stick their tail in it and poop it all around. And swat the flies and yeah.
Let's go.
I
over.
Was just one or two before. Well, before we get to the listeners,
yes.
If I can finish mine,
yes.
Is
yeah.
When you're at a boarding stable,
yeah.
And they have the tack rooms, and you keep your saddle in the tack room, and you walk in, and there's a freaking cat on your saddle. Ah. Oh,
that would be the beast.
Oh, annoying me to no end. Back to the hose thing. When you do get the hose all the way out and you put it in the water bucket that's in the pasture or the big tub, and you forget about it.
Oh, done that.
You've pretty much irrigated your whole pasture. I've done that about a million times. Yep. And then finally, the most annoying thing to me when I'm at the barn, I'm addicted to chapstick. And when I put on chapstick and I go to brush my horse when he's shedding and I'm downwind. And you're picking horse hair off of your chapstick filled lips. Ugh.
Okay, I'll give you that one. You're the only one that's come up with that one. That's funny. All right, let's go over a few of the listeners' ones. We've gotten a lot of them here this morning. Spider webs from Karen. And Karen, I cannot agree more. I was telling Jennifer the other day, it is very beautiful to walk outside here in the morning. It's warm and it's hazy. And in Florida in the morning, the Spanish moss is hanging off all the live oak trees and the sun's shining through it. And it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful first thing in the morning here. And, you know, the birds are going, and it's just, it's tropical. It is tropical. And then you start walking into the stringy spider webs. We have these spiders that do stringy webs down from the trees. They're just one string. But there's something about them is that the spider webs are sticky. They're very, very sticky. So when you get them on, you can't get them off. And you just walk through dozens of them from here to the barn. It's just, it makes the whole morning experience not so enjoyable. So I agree on spider webs. I'm with you on that one. I don't know if you have that problem in Arizona so much. You don't have trees.
Not so much. The only spider webs that we have are black widows. So you pretty much try to avoid all spider webs at all costs. let's see. Julianne Taylor
yes.
Wrote in the next one. This one is my life. And it is every woman's life when you go to throw hay. And now when you are coming in from the barn to do a little let's feed the baby. When you have to get the hay out of your bra before you, number one, feed the baby, or just walk around with stupid hay in your bra, and you get that boob sweat, and then the hay gets down in your bra and between your boobs, and then you have to, like, peel the hay out of the sweat that's your boob sweat. I hate that. That's worse than a horse show, because where do you do it? When you're at a horse show, it's like, yeah. You walk around your head in your shirt.
Hey, Becky,
you
commented.
You just have to do it.
Becky added to that. Let me read it to you. When I run low on hay, I run to the laundry room to check my bras. Always enough to feed another feeding.
Exactly. It is. It is. It's amazing. What's next?
Yeah, you know, this one used to drive me nuts because I was always in charge of this as the horse husband. I didn't know what I was doing. Is things that need repair and you can't do it yourself. And you have to actually get somebody because you don't want to wait to get somebody. You need it repaired now. And, you know, that's why it has become a replace-it culture because there's nobody to repair anything anymore. And if to get the guy out to repair something takes 3 weeks and costs you $500, by that time you could have replaced it. So that's why we're always just replacing stuff because nobody, even Jennifer got to be an expert at repairing hoses. She could do that. I wanted to buy a new one and she'd repair it. But yeah, repairing things.
Yeah, I can't repair anything. So
a couple others here. Let's see. There were a couple people that said at boarding stables, and we've all boarded and we owned a big one, is when people borrow your stuff and don't put it back. They don't tell you they're borrowing it, number one, and they don't put it back where they took it from. And we've all had that problem at boarding stables.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the biggest annoyance
at all when you're in a boarding stable is people going through your stuff. Oh, I just need to borrow this. Get your own stuff.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, it used to happen to us as the boarding stable owners. We are not immune to that because more often than not, they're borrowing the stuff of the boarding stable owners and not returning it. So we always had that problem. Let's see
yes,
here.
Yes.
Let's see. We've had poop and buckets. That was in there as well. We also had... flies. I think flies. Let's just leave it at flies. They are a daily annoyance, and I don't know what else to say about
flies. Abby, that says it all. Abby had one more too. Besides the flies, now we have mosquitoes, which is awful, even worse than flies. But Abby posted that when she has a horse at a boarding barn, people just randomly come up and feed your horses treats. That to me is such a no-no. Such a no-no to walk anybody walk up to my horse and feed them a treat without telling me or talking to me about it. First of all, you're teaching him, you know, a lot of times with the pony we have in the yard, you can't feed him in treats because he learns to bite. And you just grab small children's hands. And other things are, yes, what she said, she doesn't give her horses sugary preservative-filled treats. And so she doesn't want you to do it either. So there you go. That was Abby.
Very good. Well, we'll wrap it up there. If you have a comment or something that we did not go over today, please write it on our Facebook page. We have a thread going over at Horses in the Morning. And let's see. We just got a new one in. Let me see. And I think this is our city girl from New York just posted this. And I've lost it. Sorry about that. Anyway, post them over
You've
on Facebook.
It several times before, Glenn.
Yes, I know. It's funny how when you refresh Facebook, things just never, ever work out. Anyway, we are going to do our song and come back. We have thehorse.com on with us this morning, and along with Sue McDonald, who was on last week. Today, I picked a song because it's her birthday. It's Tiffany DeRosé's birthday. We did a special show with her a while back. You can find it over on Horses in the Morning if you want to listen to it. One of my favorite songs of hers is Rise Above, and that is going to be here right after this word from Equus. Glenn the Geek here. The life of horse person is hard enough, and we all hate doing the required paperwork, and unfortunately many of us never get around to it, and it just piles up on our desk. That is about to change thanks to the Equisketch Records app for your iPhone or iPad. My wife and I use it to track our horses, and we absolutely love this thing. Equisketch Records is the most thorough and complete equestrian records app on the market today. We love this app because you can track your farrier work, your dental, your coggins, medicines, worming, and so much more. And you can get reminders on your device when all of these things are due. You'll never forget a worming or shots or farrier visit again. But it not only tracks your horse, you can also manage your horse shows, including individual events. You can manage riders, including lessons and memberships, and so much more. And you can sync it between your iPhone and your iPad, and all of this for the price of a couple of cups of coffee from Starbucks. Search for Equisketch Records in the iOS App Store or go to equisketch.com. That's EQUISKETCH.com. Equisketch.com.
Feel the air you breathe. when tears are falling.
Well, that was Tiffany DeRose. Happy birthday, Tiffany. Today is her birthday. You can find all of her music at tiffanyderose.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And also Coach Jen is producing today. And we are going to find out right now from Jennifer, what is the prizes for Friday's Really Bad Ads?
This Friday's lineup on the prize table, we have Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack, Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-hose leak. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for scratches, cuts, abrasions, and scrapes on horses, dogs, and cats. Ask for Dr. Roses at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. Up next on the table, Grooming Essentials Tote from horsegroomingsolutions.com. And it will be filled to the brim with great products to keep your horse's coat in tip-top shape every day, like the Silverado Detangler, perfect for horses with dry, brittle hair, Healthy Hair Care Hair Moisturizer, your economical, everyday way to keep skin and coat soft and healthy, Healthy Hair Care Dermaclean Shampoo, the protein-enriched antibacterial shampoo, Healthy Hair Care Sunflower Sunscreen to protect your horse's skin and coat from UVA and UVB rays, and Silverado Coat Gloss Hair Polish for a show ring shine that helps repel dirt, dust, and stains. And you can find them all and more at horsegroomingsolutions.com. And rounding out the lineup, 5 free bags of feed, forage, or supplement from Triple Crown Nutrition. Oh! Triple Crown Nutrition offers a complete lineup of fortified feeds, forages, and supplements to satisfy the needs of your whole herd. Whether you are looking for a higher fat diet, lower carbs, a senior diet, or sound nutrition for growing horses, Triple Crown Nutrition has the answer. You can find them online at triplecrownfeed.com.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. We have a lot of terrific prizes for Really Bad Ads this week. I wanted to just remind you that tomorrow is our Emergency Preparedness Day. We do one day every month with Dr. Jimenez, Dr. G, we call her. She comes on and talks about horse first aid and emergency preparedness, and that is tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to have a special show planned for you, too, and Really Bad Ads will be here. And then the following Monday, next Monday, is our semi-annual live from the American Equestrian Trade Association in Philadelphia. So we'll have a bunch of guests be taking a look at the new products that are coming to the market for the fall. You'll get a preview right here on Horses in the Morning. Well, Jamie, while Jennifer's getting our next guests lined up here, I have good news for everybody, and that is the Iowa company that was looking at opening a meat packing plant. This was one of the ones that we talked about last week, and we covered that the judge ordered a 30-day restraining order to keep the slaughterhouses from operating while they were taking a look into the government regulations and stuff. Well, this particular meat packing plant has decided that Valley Meat in Roswell has decided it's going to be too costly to wait, and they're abandoning their operations and not going to open. So one
well,
in the win column.
Yeah, actually, what I had seen was that the Iowa company, there's an Iowa slaughterhouse that focuses on beef, and they were going to start slaughtering horses as well, but they've decided with all the crap that's going on, they said, we can't sit with our heads down, we have to get back to work, our main focus is going to be beef. Now, the Valley Meat of Roswell, New Mexico, they are, quote, still prepared to stay the course, according to their attorney. So the Iowa company has dropped plans. Roswell, New Mexico, has still decided that they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going with the lawsuit, even though the Humane Society and other organizations have filed the lawsuits. But the ruling is that at least the one in Iowa is not going to slaughter horses. Now, if those of you would go ahead and join the crusade and be vegetarians, like some of us are, the Iowa company would have nothing to do either. So let's just eliminate slaughter altogether. We would not have overpopulation of cattle because people would not breed them anymore. And hence the spay neuter geld. Everybody would live happily ever after. We'd all be vegetarians. And
we have to go back through the history of this show and see if she has gotten her vegetarian plug in at least once a week every week since we started.
I mean, let's all love each other. Come on, stop eating each other. Meet your meat.
It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
It's that time of the week when we bring Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com, on to bring us our weekly horse health report. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Glenn.
Hey, I got to tell you
morning.
Something. Before we get to our guests, guys, I got to tell you that we got to see Dr. Jones, who comes on this segment a lot from down here in Florida. We got to see her on that new TV show she talked about. We watched the first episode. We found it on the Up Network, which we didn't even know existed. And then we actually found the show, and we got to see her. She was on the show.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Can you watch it online?
Yeah, it's actually on our pay-per-view part of... Now, finding anything on pay-per-view is like a nightmare, but it's called the Bullock Family Ranch, and I think they have a website, too. I don't know if the episodes are over there, but it is on our free side of our pay-per-view on our cable, but the Bullock Family Ranch, and she was on there. She wasn't lying.
Check it out.
Yes, check it out.
Yes, very exciting. Our own Dr. Jones.
That's right. I was like, I know her!
Dr. Jones is awesome.
So what are we talking
today
about?
We don't have Dr. Jones today, right? We don't have Dr. Jones. Okay. But next week. But this week we have Dr. Sue McDonald, who we talked to last week about her semi-feral pony herd at New Bolton at University of Pennsylvania. She's back this week to talk about pain versus behavior. How can we tell when our horses are hurting versus just being strange. Dr. McDonald, are you with us?
Good morning. How you doing?
I am good. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. So last week we talked about your pony herd, which you've studied lots of behavior, but this week I wanted to talk about how we can tell when our horses are in pain, because this is kind of one of the very cool things I thought about visiting New Bolton was seeing some of your surgeons and your vets talk about integrating behavior in the work that you do into diagnosing and treating horses in the clinic. So let's start out a little bit, and I want you to share with us, if you can, what the difference is between a pain behavior and just a horses being horses behavior.
Well, sometimes they look very, very similar. So... a good example would be pawing. So horses paw for many reasons, and it looks pretty similar on the surface, but they paw, for example, when they want to get to food or water and they're thwarted from that goal. And the basis of that behavior is, you know, in their natural behavior, if they couldn't get to the forage because of snow or the water because of ice, pawing would be adaptive. So it's sort of an adaptive behavior whenever they're in a thwarted goal situation or a frustration situation. You can get all your horses to do that if you stand outside their stall and with the feed bucket rattling and not delivering the feed, and there's nothing they can do about it, so they get frustrated and paw. They also, when they have unrelieved pain, will paw in a very similar fashion. And the way we can tell the difference is to look very closely at the context of the behavior and look at for other signs of pain, for example, ear positions and turning their head back towards the source of the pain or whatever, or whether it looks like they're just in the appropriate context. You're walking down the aisle with the feed cart, you take a cell phone call and they're standing there waiting. So And even then, it can be a little bit tricky to sort it out because, for example, with gastric ulcers, when it's feeding time, and especially when they're anticipating that it's almost there, the gastric juices will flow and irritate the gastric ulcers that are there. So they may be pawing out of the frustration of the discomfort, either alone or together with the fact that you're still on the cell phone and they're waiting for their brain.
So I do not talk on my cell phone when I'm feeding my horses.
That's nice.
I think I'm very quick when I feed, and they still paw. So is there anything I can do to convince them that their meal is coming no matter what, or just let them paw?
Yeah, what can we do? Because there's one horse in my barn that I had to get a rubber mat and put it underneath where his bucket is, because he will dig a hole through we've redone the dirt in his stall so many times and he just keeps digging a hole. Is there anything you can do besides hobble him to get him to stop?
Well, first of all, I would not hobble a horse for this reason. I think that's bordering on inhumane to do that, because it's such a natural behavior and we're putting them in a very unnatural situation. The solution to this problem is to give them low quality continuous forage like they would have under natural conditions. Now, I realize for many people that's not a practical possibility, but there are other ways that you can deliver food so that they're not getting just two or three intense meals. That brings on gastric ulcers, number one, but it also brings on this food urgency that comes with all these undesirable behaviors like pawing or banging on the door that we don't like.
Yeah, and mine bangs against his gate and paws with the foot that he has swelling or inflammation of the navicular bursa. So,
right. The solution, if you can, is just to give them a continuous access to hay and not, you know, get away from the supplements altogether if you can. There's also some automatic feeders available that deliver the feed independent of people and fairly frequently, so that they get frequent small meals the way they would if they were foraging naturally.
So with the behavior work that you do at New Bolton, how do you observe the horses when they're at the facility?
Yeah, the magic bullet in this regard is a video of the horse when it's just alone in the stall, undisturbed. We can pick up things that you would never really see if you were standing there for 24 hours watching the horse. They don't, maybe some of the signs of pain don't occur often enough that you sort of put it together. But when you're looking at it in fast forward, the rapid repetition of unusual movements will give you a clue as to where the pain is. The other really extraordinary thing about horses is that as an open plains grazing prey species, they have evolved to hide all signs of pain, particularly when threatened. And we don't think of ourselves as a threat to our horses, but if you watch them on video, you will see them they'll be showing their signs of discomfort. And as soon as someone comes, it could be a positive distraction or a threat, but whatever it is, they stop doing it. And we see this over and over. Used to be very frustrating to clinicians, because they would watch the horse. They would see nothing. And I would turn on the video, they would walk away, and within a few minutes, I would start to see it. I could make those video clips and show them so they could see what the horse was doing when they weren't there. And now they don't get frustrated. They just call for a video. And we by default do a 24-hour continuous video, and I view that. But in reality, we usually have a pretty good clue of what's going on within the first hour of that. So it's not like you really have to go through so much. But going through the rest of it kind of confirms for you and sometimes helps you fine-tune your diagnosis and plan for assessing with further diagnostics.
One of the examples that we saw when I was on the tour at New Bolton was of a horse that every time a person would walk up, it would stop doing the behavior. And then the instant the person walked away, the horse was back at it. And it was really fascinating to see that in action and see the horse was obviously uncomfortable, but then human, then very stoic. And then human's gone, very upset again.
And that's very clearly a characteristic, a very adaptive characteristic for horses, not to show their signs of discomfort. That would let the predator know, this one.
Which makes it even harder for us to know what's going on with our horses if they're hiding it from us. So how have you at New Bolton integrated what you know about behavior and your watching of the horses with treatment plans?
Well, the first big step is to answer the question whether we think it is a physical underlying problem that can be addressed or a behavioral problem. The cool thing about when it's pain, when it can be identified and treated, which it often is here, you would expect that maybe some of the secondary behavioral changes the horse made to deal with that might continue on. But the beauty is that they usually give up those behaviors immediately once the pain is relieved. Very occasionally we'll have a horse that's still a little bit wary of certain situations. For example, girthing problems. When a horse has a sore back and it really starts to resent even going to the cross ties because it knows what's coming next. And those ones will sometimes, even after you've treated the back, will hang on to those signs a little bit. So then we'll get involved again and help with a behavior modification plan to help the horse understand that it's not going to hurt so much anymore.
Now, we as horse owners definitely want our horses to be comfortable and happy. And sometimes I think we can, well, I don't think, I know, I can go overboard with mine. I think he hurts. Especially the more I learn, the more I realize horses react to things because they're uncomfortable or because something's going on. Like they don't just, for the most part, they don't seem to make things up or make up reasons to be naughty. So how can horse owners differentiate between behaviors and pain that they need to get their vet involved in with?
Well, actually, I think many of the folks that I work with are long distance, and so I can either send them equipment and they videotape and send it to me, or in many cases, they don't have the means or they're so far away that they just want to videotape it and look at it themselves, and they can often learn quite a bit from looking at a stall video, and most people find it extremely interesting and entertaining for a few hours of going through videotape to see what their horses are doing. And I think there's nothing magical about what I do except that I've had a lot of experience doing it and have a good eye for what is normal and what is not, but they could do that. The other thing I talk to people about is think about, if a horse is doing something, how could you teach the horse to do that particular behavior? Very often the pain behaviors are kind of out of the blue. They just happen independent of what you're doing with the horse at the time. And you think, how could the horse have learned to do this as to avoid work or whatever? And with that question, sometimes owners come up with very often they come up with a good hypothesis for what's going on with the horse.
And a lot of the examples that we saw when we were on the tour led to ulcers, that the horse had ulcers for whatever reason, or maybe as part of what was going on with them.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned this praying position that the horses do that often is related to ulcers. And my own horse does that before breakfast every morning. And, you know, me, I've had horses
jockeying since I was 3 years old, and I think I'm pretty savvy. I work for thehorse.com. I talk to a lot of people. But I thought he was, like, doing horse yoga in the morning. Like, you know, he's just stretching. It was all night, and he needed to stretch. And sure enough, I got home, and I thought about it after you said that, and I started giving him a late-night meal so that he had food overnight and had some forage, and he stopped doing that in the morning, which is really kind of interesting. So do you think that we as horse owners do miss subtle signs of discomfort a lot, or is that just me?
No, I think it's pretty common. It's very understandable. You know, if you don't look closely at a lot of horses, you might not have an idea how unusual that behavior is in a horse that's free of ulcers. And I know that not only owners, but veterinarians also are not, you know, the veterinary training has so many aspects to it that it doesn't include as much behavior as we wish it did. And so they may not appreciate either those behaviors, and they may see them in several horses in their practice and think, oh, well, some horses just do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
With ulcers, are there any other behaviors that we see in horses that are related?
Yeah, well, gastric ulcers can cause anything from just kind of intermittent crabbiness or, you know, just off days to very serious self-mutilation behavior, really turning around and biting, you know, even grabbing pieces of flesh and wounding themselves. It's usually associated with mealtime. It can be as they're anticipating the meal or when they start to ingest the forage or the grain, it may irritate. And a lot depends on, you know, where the ulcers are. One really interesting behavior in race horses is often when they come out of the starting gate and the juices slosh around is what we think happens, but they will pull up and just give up. They're in so much discomfort. So the other interesting thing about gastric ulcers is that some horses can have fairly severe lesions and tolerate them fairly well. Other horses can have minor ulceration and have very dramatic behavior changes. When you treat them and they the ulcers go away, the behavior goes away. And since in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years when gastroscopy has become so common, where you can actually visualize the lesions, you can treat them very effectively with the modern medication so that they improve within days or at least a couple weeks, and you can see such a tight association between the behavior changes and the ulcers. We've come to realize that many different types of behavior changes are connected with gastric ulcers.
I gotta say though, if you're looking at horse husbands and we're acting that way, that just means we're hungry. It's a whole different thing, actually. Hey guys,
horse husbands have gastric ulcers too.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's the problem. Hey, we're running out of time here, guys. Thank you so much for joining us again. This has been interesting. Michelle, where can people? Do you have articles on this?
We've started posting some videos that we took while we were at the ISIS conference. You can see Dr. McDonald talk about her semi-feral pony herd if you log on to thehorse.com and go to the video section, which will be on the homepage. You can see those videos. Good
Very
stuff.
Good. And Dr. McDonald, what's the website address there for New Bolton?
www.vet.upenn.edu, but just Google
New Bolton.
New Bolton Center, and I'm sure it'll come right up.
It'll come up. Very good. Well, thank you both. We appreciate you being here, and thanks to thehorse.com.
Nice to talk to you guys.
All right. Take care.
Yes, bye.
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Michelle. Are you here, Jamie? Are you back?
I'm here. Okay. I'm here. Yeah, I was just fascinating.
Now, did you? But I want to clarify something that came up there at the beginning. Jamie does not hop. You were joking. It's like,
yes, I was joking, and she didn't think I was joking. She didn't think I was very funny.
Neither Jamie or I am hobble horses. Yes.
No, I don't tie my horses' front legs together when I'm feeding.
No. Okay. We just wanted to clarify that in case anybody thought you were serious. Regular listeners would know you were trying to make a joke. But,
yes.
Hey, we have a couple more things, actually, that have come in that are really good. Annoyances, daily annoyances that we have with our horses in the barns from our listeners. One of them was unsupervised children at the barn. That was Biz that threw that one in. Having owned a big boarding stable, I know exactly about that one. How about the horses that wait
Stupid.
Yeah. How about the horses that wait to pee till they get to their stall? Oh, used to drive me nuts. Oh, nothing makes you madder.
That is a good one.
How about...
That is a really good one. Always a gelding.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You're right. And then the other one, too, is you go to clean out the stall and you're all done. It looks all pretty and the horse, you know, you're doing it when the horse is in there and then they immediately poop. Just happens every single time.
Ooh, I just thought of another one, too, and this happens to me every single time. You have a nice, clean stall. You bring your horse in. He's a little sweaty, or you're done riding, and you hose him off. You put him in his nice, clean stall, and what's the first thing they do?
Yep, they roll.
Yep, and you're like, clean stall, clean horse. Big mess. Now. Big mess.
Let's see here. Colleen said, when I used to board, it was always annoying when there was someone around who felt the need to try to give you advice on how you should be doing everything. There's always a know-it-all at a boarding barn. Every time. Ugh.
Yes, that's true. And also, if you do know a lot, there's always a lot of people that are new to the horse thing that ask you question after question after question, and that's fine, but sometimes you just need to get to the barn, ride, and get home, and sometimes it can be a little bit tedious the other way, too.
Yeah, and that
happens.
Yeah,
the know-it-all jargon.
And you get that a lot, too. They know if you're an instructor, then you're going to get that more, I think. Because they just figured if you're an instructor, then you want to help everybody without getting paid. So it's like, Justin said, we keep our boys at home finally, but I spent a lot of years with the boarding barn blues. Now, I'm going to want to talk about this one because I can appreciate this one. I'm a carriage driver and was constantly treated as a second-class citizen. I am not out to scare your horse or ruin the footing or get in your way. If your horse is scared, I'm happy to stand while you introduce him to the cart. I am happy to take time out of my horse's work to help your horse overcome his worries. We used to have this when I used to drive it, and we had the big boarding stable. Now, what we did is we actually did introduce all the riding horses. We used to go out on big, long trail rides, too. And what happened was, after the horses got to know the carriage, they would be lined up behind me. I would have horses breathing down my neck the entire time because they found it a comfort or safety zone right behind the cart. So there would be like two or three of them. I'd feel them breathing on my neck. So very quickly, they come to look at that as protection, I think. But yeah, you do have to introduce them to it. But I know exactly how she feels, because when I would drive my cart past another horse, they would freak out and say, "Oh, get away! You can't be near my horse." It's like, train your horse. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Anytime there's anything scary, I boarded at a facility that also did birthday parties.
Oh no!
And they had a big death. Oh yeah.
Blow up houses.
No, to me, it was the greatest training aid ever. That's the horse that I invented forever. And to this day, I lease him to a woman, to an older woman, because he's so broke. He is so broke. They would have birthday parties with the blow-up houses, or they had a big deck that was next to the riding arena. So you'd be on the riding arena, and there'd be a million children on the deck and balloons. Everywhere. Balloons tied to everything. And to me, a great training opportunity. There are some boarders that be like, "I hate it when they have the stupid parties." I'm like, "This is awesome. Schedule your ride around these things, man. Get your horse broke." And again, it works because that horse is afraid of nothing.
That's true. Good. Great desensitization. I never thought about it. Have birthday parties at your farm. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Uta jumped in and said, "I hate the folks that their horses are gold and yours is a bottom scum." Actually happened to me with my quarter horse. There are those that have breed issues that are a little biased. There are those people that.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those people suck.
It does happen at barns. Mine is a warm blood. Yours is a quarter horse.
Yes.
Well, that was fun. That was a fun segment we did today. Thank you, Jennifer. You came up with that one. It was a lot of fun, and we're glad you brought that up. And it was neat getting the feedback of the listeners before the show started, so we appreciate everybody joining in. And they're still joining in on that topic, so we do appreciate that. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow morning with Dr. G with the emergency preparedness episode that we're doing once a month, the third Thursday of the month. Hard to believe it's third Thursday already. But she'll be on. We'll talk about first aid and preparing for emergencies. I think it's a very important show that we do every month. And then back here on Friday, of course. So thank you, Jamie. We really appreciate you being here on a Wednesday. It was nice to have you back to do the wheel.
My pleasure. I'll be back on next Wednesday as well, because you guys are live from ADA, the trade show with basically every horse product in the world that all your tack shops go to buy their products at, which is just a shopper's dream. So I'll be tuning in on Monday to hear all the cool horse products that are coming out, and I'm still mad I'm not going. I could have taken the baby.
Helena is so excited. I'll have you, just wanted to rub that in a little.
She gets to go and I don't. I get it. That's even worse now. Thanks.
Don't forget to download our app. You can find it in the App Store and just search on the iOS App Store, the Android App Store. And the new show, Blaze Kids Radio, is out, getting great reviews on the website. Oh my gosh, people are just commenting like crazy. So if you haven't heard Blaze Kids Radio yet, you can find it at horseradionetwork.com or on the apps. It's just showing up there now. So it is getting terrific reviews, and we hope you enjoy the new show. Thank you, everybody. Okay, have a great...
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got some news. I've had breaking news.
Yeah.
And this is going to... Those listeners that have been listening to us for a long time are going to appreciate this news or not appreciate it. It depends on how you feel. Do you remember our friend Charles Stewart William Campbell, who is the assistant broodmare manager over at Lane's Inn Farm?
Oh, yeah.
And he won Best Couple in our Hottest Horsemen Awards.
Right.
And he is gorgeous, and he handles Zenyatta on a daily basis in her broodmare life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, put on your black armbands. Charles Stewart William Campbell is officially engaged. I'm wearing a veil today. It's going to have to happen.
Terrible things happen every day in this world, Jamie.
Sorry. I'm going to pour a little out for him. No, just kidding. Congratulations to him and his lovely fiancée, Kate. I've actually met her. She's a vet over at Haggard's, and she's a lovely lady, and they're going to be very happy, and we wish them the best of luck. So congratulations to Charles and Kate. Oh, my God, Charles and Kate, they sound like royalty. Gorgeous. All right, you guys, have a great day. Stay neuter and go.
Good job, Charles. Hooked one up.
Yeah, he married up, too. Pretty cool. Not that I've been stalking him or anything.